Very first question, every time, every week. What ways have you behaved differently this past week as a result of doing the exercises, the godliness training exercises? What's different? What's happening? The question isn't, have you done the exercises? The question is, what impact are they having on your life? And I pray that they're having an impact. If you can't answer that question, then that's probably where you need to crank up the intensity of the exercises, because that's critical. A little bit of a review. Let me explain what you've got in your hands. I realize the handout is more detailed this time than it normally is. I have a acronym, WARFARE, that helps me fight against sin, and it takes all the principles that we've been covering in this class, as well as the ones for this session, and puts them in this acronym in a way that I can call into mind when I'm in the battle, when I'm fighting. Now, most of the principles from this class are positioning you. They're designed to put you in a position of strength to fight the battle. Napoleon, somebody told me, he read a book about Napoleon. He told me that Napoleon used to pick his battlefields. He said he would, before there was a battle, he would go through and travel with his generals, and he would walk through it, and all of a sudden he was just like, here, the battle is going to happen here. And he had it all mapped out in his mind, and then he would orchestrate circumstances and do things such that that's where the two armies met, in that spot, because he had his plans. And he picked a spot that would give him an advantage. There, all these principles up until tonight are designed to do that, to put you on the right battlefield, to give you in a position of advantage, make you able to, when you engage in this war, to do so from a position of strength. If you don't do these things, you don't get power from God, fulfillment from God, and fear of God, then you can use every temptation-resisting technique in the book. You can memorize scripture, quote them, do all this stuff. You'll fall. You've got to approach the battle from a position of a strong position. And so that's what we've done all the way up until tonight, is what is that strong position. Now we're ready to fight. Okay, now we're ready to actually engage in the moment of temptation when it arises. So just let me do a quick review. And you can just kind of skim through your notes there on the WARFARE acronym. I actually had four A's, and WARFARE only has two, unfortunately, so I doubled up on both of them. The W, walk by the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. You all know that. Walk by the Spirit, you'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. So always be asking this. Is this what the Holy Spirit is leading me to do right now? Is this what the Holy Spirit is leading me to do right now? Now, please, don't make that harder than it needs to be. I'm not talking about, I'm drinking orange juice. The Holy Spirit leading me to drink grape juice, and I'm drinking orange juice, and I'm, oh no, what am I? No, don't, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those moments when the answer is really, really easy. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. You know, when, today, I had one of those. I'm sitting, I'm supposed to be studying, it's a heavy week for me, it's a heavy day, I got a lot to do, I'm busy, I need to be disciplined, and I got to thinking about cruises. Tracy and I were talking about going on a cruise and our next vacation, and I got to wondering if we could find a little better deal than what we found last night. I didn't want to work, I wanted to go online and look up cruises. There's nothing wrong with planning for a vacation at the right time, but not when you're supposed to be working. And I had that a moment where I had to ask, Daryl, is this what the Holy Spirit wants you to be doing right now? The answer was absolutely unequivocal. No. No, no, no. I know for sure it's not. And so don't just think in terms of clear evil and righteousness, but just in general, you typically, you know what you're supposed to be doing. Is this what the Holy Spirit wants me to be doing right now? Somebody sent me a text today. I got mad. I had this selfish, kind of response to the text, and I was, and I got mad. And now my mind's grinding away about how this person's in the wrong, and it's like, does the Holy Spirit want me to do that right now? No. What does the Holy Spirit want me to be doing? remembering all these peacemaking principles I learned last weekend, you know, after all the training. All right. Glorify God. Okay. Yeah. You know, and I just reorient. And so it's just real helpful. Always ask, is this what the Holy Spirit is leading me to do right now? Galatians 5:16. Walk by the Spirit. Just keep in step. Because if I'm sitting there, I'm goofing off, well, you know, on planning vacation when I should be working, and the next thing you know, I'm fretting about some text that I shouldn't be. I'm out of step with the Spirit. And then what's going to happen when temptation comes? I'm not going to be in a position to deal with that. I'm going to fall. So walk by the Spirit. The next one, A, alert and avoid. And they're related. You be alert, watch and pray so you don't fall into temptation. Be self-controlled and alert. Satan's prowling around like a lion. He prowls because he can't devour anybody. He can only devour people who are not alert, watching for him, knowing his schemes. Be alert all day long. Proverbs 7:26. I always think of this verse, Proverbs 7:26. Many are the victims she has brought down. Talking about temptation. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her slain are a mighty throng. I mean, you look at all the mighty men of valor that this temptation has slain. There lies Adam and Eve. There lies the mighty King David. There lies Peter. I mean, the strongest of them all. Her slain are a mighty throng. I mean, for me to walk around and think, oh, I'll be able to handle it. I can go in proximity to temptation and still emerge victorious. I'll be all right. Absolute folly. Her slain are a mighty, mighty throng. Need to be on my guard. 1 Corinthians 10:12. You think you're standing firm, watch out so you don't fall. And so I need to be alert and I need to avoid. Romans 13:14. Make no provision for the flesh. Don't get close. Set up a perimeter. If you just figure the odds, you know, I mean, if I cave into, say, 1 out of 10 temptations, if that's how strong I am, I do okay 90% of the time, but 10% of the time I choke. Well, if I expose myself to only 10 temptations, then that's only one failure. If I expose myself to 100, that's 10 failures. It's just not smart, you know. So don't make provision. Keep to a path far from her. Don't go near the door of her house. Realize that her hands are chains. Proverbs also says the evil deeds of a wicked man ensnare him. I do one evil deed and, you know, I start having a bad attitude because of a text. And the next thing you know, I'm ensnared. As soon as I get into it, boom, and the handcuffs are on. So be alert and avoid temptation. The reaping, sowing and reaping principle, that's R. Galatians 6:7. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Man reaps what he sows. Always be asking, what am I sowing right now? What am I sowing? Is this what the Holy Spirit wants me to do? And what am I sowing? Am I sowing to the Spirit? Maybe I'm watching a TV show. Maybe I'm reading a news article. Maybe I'm chatting with a friend or having a daydream. What effect is this thing that I'm doing right now having on my flesh? Or on my spirit? Is it weakening and killing the flesh? Or is it awakening and strengthening the flesh? If this movie or this book or this thing I'm doing is stimulating my flesh, even a little bit, sowing and reaping. Remember Jesus said, you reap not only what you sow, but 30, 60, 100 times what you sow. So you sow a little bit, you reap a lot. Remember the reaping principle. And then the next one, fight. That's where we're going to pick it up tonight. All the rest of them are tonight, except for the last one, enjoy. That we've covered in the past. Preferring God, fighting sin by preferring. Right? You can't just look at Folly's banquet table and say, I got to say no. You got to find something better. Chalmers said it's the expulsive power of a greater affection. Right? You'll like something else more than you like that sin. And so you have to have experiences of God, of God's presence that are satisfying to your soul. Of all the godliness training exercises we've done in this whole thing, that's the biggest one by far. You've got to have soul-satisfying experiences with the presence of God or it's not going to work. I'll tell you what I've been doing. I read a devotional a while back about how the gifts of God in this world, the pleasures of this world, are reflective of God's attributes. They tell us things about God. but they're imperfect mirrors. They're not exactly like God, and so they, in and of themselves, they can't satisfy. They fall short of being able to satisfy. The greatest vacation, the greatest food, the greatest sex, the greatest whatever is not going to satisfy the cravings of your soul. It'll fall short. It's a sampling of what God's presence is like, but it's not God's presence. And so in itself, it can't satisfy. And so what I've been doing is anytime I'm tempted or anytime, even if I'm not tempted, anytime I feel my soul just really being attracted to some earthly pleasure or good thing, I look at it and I literally point to it and say, "You can't satisfy me." Now you've got this going for you. You reflect some attributes of God in some marvelous ways. I got to give you that, but not enough to actually satisfy me. You cannot satisfy me. I've had to do that a few times with some food in the last couple of weeks. I pointed to the food. You can't satisfy. And it's amazing the impact that it's had on my heart. Just that little exercise doing that preaches to my soul. We've got to prefer. Win the battle by preferring. If somebody has a box of cookies in the house that they're tempted, they shouldn't be eating them. They don't want to eat them, and they're tempted to eat them, and they can't stop eating them. What's the solution? The solution is easy. Buy a box of better tasting cookies. Right? Then you won't be tempted with those ones. Right? At all. That's the way God wants us to fight temptation. Open our eyes to the truth that experience of His presence is better than the sin. Okay, so with all that review, let's go ahead and break into our groups. And here's what we're going to do in our groups. Go ahead and share your experiences of the presence of God that you've had. Towards the end of the list last time, and I told you I was afraid that people maybe didn't get to that one, and that's the most important one. So we'll start there. Just start by experiencing your last couple, 2-3 weeks, whatever, your experiences, specific experiences of the presence of God that you've had that have been satisfying your soul. Just share those. And then share a time these last couple weeks when you did something different than you would have normally done because you were thinking, what am I sowing to right now? A sowing and reaping principle. And so you thought of that, and so you did something different. Number 3, do you have an accountability partner? That was part of the assignment last time. Get a partner. What steps did you take last week to bring your life into the light exposure? And then go ahead and quote the verses that we've memorized. And then if you have any extra time at the end, share your thoughts from reading through the Sermon on the Mount. We've been reading through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7, and whatever your thoughts, whatever hit you, whatever was interesting to you, go ahead and share your thoughts. If you have any time after that, then you can pray for each other, and we'll go for about a half an hour. So let's go ahead and break up into groups, and then I'll call you back in about 30 minutes.